Final reading of our text tonight from Psalm 23, probably next to John 3:16, one of the most familiar passages that we have. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And some versions say forever. You ever notice how much fear is acknowledged in these six short verses? Think about it for a moment. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think there's fear wrapped around being confronted by enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, or forever. I think there's fear there, fear of the unknown, of what does it mean to dwell in the house of the Lord? So often, on hospice visits and hospital visits where you're visiting somebody who is close to death, it's surprising how much comfort these six verses can bring. Praying with somebody to allow Jesus to be their shepherd for that promise of that last verse, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That foreverness extends beyond death. And I've seen the peace that can come from reading those six verses. But one fear that maybe is overlooked, unless you put into context, is he leads me beside still waters. You see, David writes this from a unique perspective, a perspective of being a shepherd himself. And he knows that sheep have a fear of water, especially fast-moving water. And what he's writing, if I can be so bold as to put it into context, is the fact that a good shepherd if he's driving a herd and he knows that the herd needs refreshment, needs to be watered, and he comes across a fast-moving stream, he knows that no matter how hard he drives the sheep, they will not go by that water for fear of being weighed down by the water and drowning. It's a self-preservation mechanism that sheep have. And what a good shepherd will do that he's referring to is he won't necessarily take the herd and drive them further, causing more exhaustion. No, what he'll do is he'll take the time as a good shepherd and pick up stones and place them in the fast-moving water, in the current, and create a little dam or create a half circle where the water becomes still. Imagine that for a moment. David, picturing that in his mind, knowing that he had done that before, suggesting that God is his shepherd. And I wonder, as he writes this, I wonder if through all the fears that he's faced in his life, he continues to see God preparing a way to restore his soul. This is the same David that a young woman caught his eye, Bathsheba. And David wasn't out on the front lines where he was supposed to be, but he was at home. And that led to an adulterous relationship and an unplanned pregnancy, and ultimately the death of this woman's husband at the hands of David. Imagine the fear when he was called out, knowing that God could have crushed him or his enemies could have crushed him. Yet God prepares a way. I'm not suggesting that we go and sin and get ourselves in trouble just so that we can see God work a miracle in our lives. No, I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm suggesting is, what fears do you face currently in your life? And how can you come to an understanding and trust in God as your shepherd? How can you allow him to prepare a way? It may not look like what you expect, but it may just restore your soul. So David writes this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. Well, that's a hard one sometimes for us to grasp. We want so much. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths that are right and straight for his namesake and his glory. And even though we walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death on a daily basis, David writes that we are not to fear. For God has got our back. His rod and his staff, they bring comfort and protection. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We recently had a situation at home where we had to face something that was, we just didn't want to face. And it caused a lot of anxiety, knowing that we would have to address this particular situation. And I happened to have an hour and a half drive ahead of me before I had to face it. And the whole time during that drive, I did nothing but pray. No radio, just me and God and the humming of the tires for an hour and a half. And when I walked into that situation, it became a sacred moment, as if God had already prepared the way. And it wasn't the battle that I had envisioned in my head. It was actually a moment of celebration and a moment where the unity of our family and the love of our family became closer, stronger, and more united. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. An anointing. In other words, he's blessing us. He's consecrating us for the work that he wants us to do. And he gives us the resources to do it abundantly. Sometimes I wonder about that. I wonder, going into a meeting with a family who's just lost a loved one, Lord, I can't do this on my own. But somehow, some way, the right questions are asked and the right conversations are had. And out of that bubbles up a funeral message that celebrates the life of one of God's children. He does prepare us for what we face, and he supplies us with the things that we need to accomplish them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to put one caveat on that. I would say that was an absolute truth when we are allowing God to be our shepherd. And I'd say the only time that we can deviate from that is when we let the I in sin take control. You know what I mean? Like the selfishness of ourselves, allowing that to get in the way of God's direction. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The promise of hope, the promise offered to us through Christ, who took bread, who in his own terms said that he was the good shepherd, the one that lays his life down for us, the one that becomes the gatekeeper for us, the one that prepares the table for us, the one that restores our soul and leads us into green pastures, the one that says, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and be restored." And he takes the cup and he gives thanks and blesses it and says, "This is my blood spilled out for you for the forgiveness of sin, for the forgiveness of allowing our selfishness to get in the way of God's plan for our lives. Take and drink, and do this in remembrance of me." And so we come tonight praying over these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine. We pray that they would become the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake, that we become one with Christ and one with each other to celebrate the good shepherd that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave, can you come and serve with me tonight? As Dave comes forward to serve with me, I want to remind you that all are welcome to this table. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to receive the gift of God's grace that we offer through communion. I'll simply break off a piece of bread and you will hear the body of Christ broken for you. And then you take that bread and dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. There's a gift basket, or a gift basket. It is a gift to give back to God what He's already blessed us with. So the invitation has been extended to you. Come and receive the banquet of Christ.
My soul, He leads me in paths.
He prepares a table before us. In the presence of our fears, our anxieties, our stumbling blocks, our pride, our sinfulness. And he says, take and eat. Go be filled. Go from this place with the hope, the promise, and the affirmation of God being your good, good shepherd. Amen.